Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet and Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Whether you're looking for Jersey tomatoes, apples from upstate New York, or fresh fish caught off Long Island, you'll find it at the Union Square Green Market, the center of New York's regional food scene. And chances are the person selling you the food is an immigrant. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this Food in Two Worlds podcast, immigrant stories from Union Square. Recently, we sent a group of journalists and writers in our fellowship program to Union Square equipped with microphones and audio recorders and asked them to bring back immigrant stories. They produced a series of audio postcards, starting with this one by journalist Lam Tai Vo about what happens early in the morning before the customers arrive.
$2.50, please.
Yeah.
My name is Kendra Paldin. I am a Tibetan immigrant. I work at the farmers market in New York City. When I first started 4 years ago, my brother, you know, got me this job. There's a lot of Tibetans working at the farmers market here. It's the immigrants' connection. One Tibetan started working here, and then he has a friend, somebody, you know, another farmer's looking for a looking for an employee, and like, you know, they got connected, and this guy got a job. I think that's how it started, really.
Tanhai, tanhai, tanhai.
When we come at 6 o'clock in the morning to set up, you know, I'll be singing a song from here. You know, as we set up, like, you know, we sing songs. That's also a, like, way of connection that, you know, like, we try to establish with each other.
Bulgarian public radio journalist Irina Nadeva produced an audio postcard of a Serbian flower vendor at the Union Square Green Market.
How much each? $2
each.
This one.
$2 each.
Oh, okay.
I'm Dejan Radonjic from Serbia and working here in the United States of America and in the Union Square Market. I came long time ago, start find the job and working here in Union Square Market. Just me from Serbia and another people from Mexico and American and, you know what I mean, that's all. Boss is not working. I start to work somebody tell me that the guy need help, and that's why I start the job to work, and I'm still here. How many years? 20 years. I never speak English before, just here. I was in a college for the English, second language English. In home, we speak Serbian. Somebody coming from Balkan, you buy the figs, they buy the bay leaf, they buy carnation, they buy, because they have on the home the same stuff. That's why. Because you will see they have the Italian, the like figs, you know, like, mandavilla and roses, Mexican, they like roses too. You know, Spanish people from Spain, they love roses. My favorite plant is carnation.
3, 4, 5. Come on.
Many of the specialty foods sold at the market are made by European immigrants who learned their trade in their native country. The market gives them an opportunity to introduce those foods to New Yorkers, as Stacy Nareen discovered while talking to the folks at Nordic Breads.
My name is Hanna Marie Fury, and I'm originally from Finland, but I live in Connecticut right now. And I work here on the market on the weekends, every once in a while. It's a Ruiz bread, you know, Ruiz means rye in Finnish, and we just make the samples this way. The bread is made on a starter, a sourdough starter that came from Finland, and the starter is about 30 years ago. So the owner went to Finland, who's also Finnish, and brought the starter here. And how they make it is they just add the water and the rye flour to it. And they kind of have to keep it fermenting for a certain period of time. So you have to babysit it and add rye to it every so often in the, you know, in the course of the day. So and eventually it becomes the dough that they want, and then they bake it. That's the breakfast and lunch, you know. You're looking at it. It's the butter, cheese, and cucumber. You can add crab locks to it. You can get creative with it, you know. Anything tastes good on it. Well, you can keep it in a Ziploc bag on the counter up to a couple of weeks. You can keep it in a freezer in a Ziploc bag a couple of months. You just take it out, defrost it, and put it in a toaster, and it's delicious.
This is the best bread ever.
Yep. What do you got, Ellis?
Reporter Nina Agrawal spent time at the stand operated by Chateau Renaissance Wine.
My name is Patrice. I'm the owner and winemaker for Chateau Renaissance Wine Cellars. And we're upstate New York, in the Finger Lakes region. I migrated from France, from the Loire Valley. I grew up in the Vouvray area. I migrated here in 1974. I've been in the wine business pretty much all my life. I was born in it in France. My family's been in the wine business, owning wineries for probably 500 years. So a lot of my big specialties in champagne, the sparkling wine type wine. And I have worked for a lot of different wineries around this country, actually developing and working with sparklings. But I also do other things like regular wine. Well, some of the things I like to do is things that are off the wall, you know. So we do champagnes that are fruit infused. We do, you know, fruit wines that are made from 100% fruit. And so those are the wines that you won't find in liquor store. And I try to, you know, do a signature type wine. I don't like to copy other people. I think it's nicer to stay with what you have, you know, than trying to copy France per se or Italy or this like that. A lot of wineries do that, but I don't like doing it. I try to cater to everybody. You know, my thing is, you know, try to educate more of the Americans. It seems like a lot of people in this country, you know, want to learn more about wine. When I came here in this country about 1974, there was very few people drinking wine. Mostly people drank beer. Now it seems like in 40 years, you know, basically the drinking has gone really escalated. I tend to like drier wine myself, but that's because I've drank so much wine, you know, over the year. But, you know, even sometime, you know, if you feel like having a sweeter one, yeah, we do it. To me, wine is not as important as the food that you serve on the table. So we try to complement the food that goes with that wine, you know, or vice versa.
And producer Francie Scanlon spoke to a German bread maker at Rock Hill Bakehouse.
$9, please. My name is William McGraw. I grew up on a farm, learned how to be a Metzger in Deutschland. I came to the United States over in 78, so 30-some years ago, and there really was not a demand for German meat cutters upstate New York. As a German and young at the time, wanted to experience New York City, and New York City was exciting at the time in the 80s. I mean, it was something. It was like a science fiction movie down here. A lot of foreigners live here, and they miss their good bread, for instance. So I filled that niche. I have been bringing Mike London's European-style breads down to New York and selling them ever since. It wasn't that fashionable to be in the green market, but I liked it as a European. And now, 30 years later, the Americans have caught on. So now it is fashionable to be down here. And we started a long time ago, so we're here. We got, I call my core clientele. They always can count on me being here, and I can count on them shopping with me. So that works. We'll try to get all our ingredients as close to home as we can, which helped the Champlain Valley wheat production. I'm proud of, for instance, our wheat bread. It smells good, it looks good, it feels good, it's just great bread.
The green market has become so popular that it now attracts a fleet of food trucks and vendors in the streets surrounding Union Square. Tasha Morrow caught up with one of the newest additions, a Peruvian food truck called Morocho, where they sell food with a message.
My name is Rafael Samanes. I'm the director of a nonprofit organization, Vamos Unidos, as well as the owner of Morocho Truck, Peruvian Fusion. This is my first venture as a street vendor. I've been in New York since 2003, originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and originally from Peru, Lima, Peru. And we've been at this for 5 weeks. This is our finishing our fifth week. And it's been great. It's been great. Morocho means many things in different countries. In Peru, it means a person of that's been under the sun a little bit, or darker skin, so it's morochito. You know, that's why we have the card's a little brownish, like it's been tanning. In Ecuador, it's a drink, maíz, it's called morocho, and they make a little, you know, drink out of it. In Dominican Republic, morocho means someone that's strong. We strive to get the highest quality food that we can, you know, Peruvian fusion food, so we have a little mixture of Mexican food with Peruvian food. The ají de gallina is great, the anticucho with his veal heart, you know, which is very, to some people it scares them, you know, but people eat it, you know. The most popular dish we have is ají de gallina, you know, which is actually is better lettuce with potatoes, a cream of ají amarillo, which is yellow pepper, with Parmesan cheese, with pulled chicken, an egg, purple potato, Peruvian olives, and some parsley. What we're trying to do here is not only cook good food, but also spread the message that small businesses can, you know, really pay their workers, you know, a decent living wage, that we all have to, you know, not just work to make money, you know, work to survive, make money, but also be involved in community events, you know, community, protecting the community.
And here's our final audio postcard from the Green Market, sent by Nepali journalist Sahadev Pudel, who spoke to Nepalis and Tibetans who sell vegetables at the market.
My name is Tenzin Chorak. I'm from, do you know Dharamsala in India? Yeah. I took a break from my college right now, so I'll be working here for summer and then come back to school in fall. Most of the market, you can see a lot of Nepali and Tibetan. I think they're pretty trusty.
No, I can just all go right in here, actually.
My name is David Hughes. I'm the operations manager for the Union Square Green Market. The kind of jobs that the Nepalis and Tibetans are doing here is primarily sales. You know, they're sales people for our producers.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
My name is Jamyang. I'm from Nepal. I'm from Kathmandu, and I used to study in Nepal. I stayed there for 10 years, and over here, I came over here in 2008, and I've been here for 4 years. Our market is from Goshen, upstate New York, but I'm from Queens, so I don't really know a lot about the market, but I've been working in the market like for 4 years, so I kind of like the environment itself, because since it's like no one really bothers each and everyone, and everyone's like kind of frank and helpful to each other. Our stand is mostly about vegetables, so we don't sell all the vegetables that we do, because we don't really do fruits. All we do is different kinds of vegetables according to the season. We used to like do, you know, farming in our country too, so that's the reason. I think that's the reason why they want to come over here. Just kind of reminds them of their past. And this is like a better way of getting like used to what, just kind of preserve what they used to do.
We have a project called the New Farmer Development Project, which is part of the Green Market program. And it's very possible that over time that one of them may join that. New Farm Development Project is it's a way to help immigrant individuals. I'm actually an immigrant. I'm Irish. Help people like me, if you're interested in becoming a farmer, it actually helps them to do that. It finds them land. It gives them, it schools them in growing practices. So maybe one day one of the individuals here will say, hey, I want to be a farmer. Nepal is quite an agricultural country, so maybe they have a very strong connection to the land as well. I'm sure that drives their presence here, too.
Does anybody need help?
All the contributors to this podcast recently participated in a Feet in Two Worlds workshop on audio production and story development. To find out about upcoming workshops and read more stories by and about immigrants, visit our new website, fi2w.org. The producers of this podcast are Sarah Kate Kramer and Jocelyn Gonzalez. We had help from our intern, Justin Mitchell. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Thanks for listening. I'm John Rudolph.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation,
and WNYC, New York Public Radio.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can help by going to fi2w.org and clicking on the support button at the top of the page.